22 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, Gauteng Premier David Makura has promised those who broke their oath of office and the law in the Life Isidimeni tragedy will be dealt with. Over 140 psychiatric patients died in 2016 after the Provincial Health Department moved them to ill-equipped and illegal NGOs. Makura was delivering his State of the Province address for the current administration earlier today. He also revealed that he has asked the Ethics Council to review any businesses that the provincial government has ever done with Bosasa and advise the Executive Council accordingly. Well, joining me now to reflect on the Premier's State of the Province address and to also look at whether it is enough to actually get the African National Congress to hold on to the economic powerhouse of the country, I'm joined on the line by political analyst Tapelo Tselapedi. Mr. Tselapedi, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Evening, Karima. Thank you.
Now, of course, it's impossible to not look at this delivery of the State of the Province address outside of the prism of the elections that's around the corner. If one looks at the numbers that the African National Congress received in the last election, this is a province to be worried about. But if we look at the opposition parties, they have also got their own sets of problems. The one party that grew a lot in Gauteng is, in fact, the EFF. Did David Makura do enough today to give people the hope, ANC people, that he can hold this province for them in the coming elections?
Look, I think with regards to the around issues of political will, I think with regards to issues of policy, with regards to issue of unemployment and so forth, the usual sort of socio-economic registers.
Yes,
I think he did a good job with regards to that. He was able to sell the ANC. I mean, for at the beginning part of the speech, I'm sure for the first six pages, he's talking about the achievements of the ANC government in Gauteng. And he was able to, in my view, effectively sell the ANC. But I think that's going to be a different argument when people are going to go door to door, trying to convince ordinary citizens of Gauteng to be able to vote for the ANC. I think that would have to be a separate register there.
Absolutely, Mr. Tselapedi. I was actually smiling as you're talking about door to door, because on Sunday, as I was driving down Jan Smuts Avenue, there were actually ANC activists with ANC T-shirts in, with Cyril Ramaphosa's face on the T-shirts, with manifestos in their hands, talking to people. And it's the first time, I must tell you, that I've actually seen people campaign in areas like this. Let's take a listen quickly to David Makura on e-tolls. The one thing, of course, that is uniting everybody across the province. Nobody wants this. But the national government didn't quite give the provincial government the assurances it was looking for. Let's take a listen to Mr. Makura speaking to the issue of e-tolls today.
Our provincial government has also been able to upgrade and rehabilitate the provincial road network of more than 5,000 kilometers. And these roads are not those that have e-tolls. They have been funded from our own provincial fiscus. And it is for that reason that we have a problem with the e-tolls. While the user pay principle is not in question from as far as we are concerned, there is, however, clear recognition that urban tolling increases the cost of living and is therefore unsustainable. There's no question anymore. Proceeding from this consensus that urban tolling is unsustainable because it increases the cost of living, government teams are hard at work to find the solution to e-tolls. President Ramaphosa has just reassured me again that the resolution of e-tolls is one of the issues that are receiving his urgent national attention.
That's, of course, Premier David Makhura giving the legislature and the people of Gauteng the assurance that even though the president didn't mention ETOLs in his State of the Nation address, it is receiving a top priority. But do you think, Mr. Tselapedi, that he has managed to convince people, given how absolutely outraged people are at this, and of course the fact that people make jokes about the fact that the ANC march on the ANC, but there is of course logic in mobilizing mass support, even if it's against your own administration, to give them indicators that if they want to stay in power, you know, some of the things have got to go. The task of Mr. Makhura would be a lot easier if he gets a you know, complete support from national government on ETOLs, but he's unlikely to get it, is it?
Look, I think it's been quite interesting to look. I mean, over 2 to 3 years, the Gauteng government and the TEC have had a solid position on the ETOLs. And I think, you know, if you look at the speech and, you know, how he was sort of talking about how the ETOs are not beneficial to ordinary citizens of Gauteng and so forth, and how they really squeeze road users financially.
Yes.
It becomes a climax when he then appeals or makes appeals to national government and his conversation then with President Cyril Ramaphosa. So in that respect, it is an anti-climax. You don't get the sense that he's made definitive assurance that this thing is going to be finalized and finalized in the manner in which I think the protests have raised the issues around you know, sort of the economic well-being of ordinary citizens in Gauteng. But again, you have to remember the backdrop to all of this is that Cyril Ramaphosa has come in. So the relationship between Gauteng and national government has changed, also at the party political level.
Yeah.
So those dynamics come into play. And I think that there has been sort of, you know, backhanded conversations or you know, private conversations with the premier around the need for him to tone down the manner in which he's articulated the issue of the ETOs. And I think that's coming through. That I'm thinking there's, at least for me, there's an anti-climax in the way he's appealing to, well, at least he talks about the conversation with President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Mr. Tselapedi,
I don't think he did justice to some of the protests in Gauteng around that issue.
I hear what you're saying, but I like the point that you're making, and I agree with it, that there's a change in the dynamic between Luthuli House and the Gauteng province. There was always historically friction. Gauteng isn't seen as a home province. They've never had a lot of representation in Luthuli House. That is, of course, changed. You have someone like Paul Mashatile in the top six, the treasurer of the African National Congress. You have quite a lot of Gauteng people on the National Executive Committee. We're talking about Nkenke Kekane. We're talking about Barbara Creasy and others. So there is a different dynamic. What I wanted to ask you, though, is this. The African National Congress is in a quagmire in the sense that it needs to fill so many gaps inside the party. And if it looks only internally, it can lose the bigger picture and lose the country. Cyril Ramaphosa has always put the country first and let the ANC kind of follow and lead society almost from behind, if you like. And that's the distinction between him and President Jacob Zuma. Wouldn't it be the correct thing to do precisely this on the ETOLs? Or do you think the financial ramifications of those gantries are too huge for Cyril Ramaphosa to actually put the interests of the people of Gauteng across party political lines first before that of the ANC and the internal wranglings in the ANC?
Look, I think there are a couple of things. I mean, this is a bit of an octopus here with the issues of the ETOLs. Yes, there's the party political issue that comes of it. There's the issue of governance. And I think for a long time, President Cyril Ramaphosa has shown that he wants to put SA citizens ahead of anything. And it would be obviously in his interest politically to make sure that what the citizens of Gauteng have raised are addressed. I mean, some of these issues are around, but has there been consultation with citizens that this thing is too expensive? Why are we putting this after the fact on the ordinary users? So I think I don't want to sort of look at it only those lens between whether he should put the interests of ordinary citizens ahead of party interests. I think for the ANC, they are really in a bit of a peculiar situation because you can't really properly fix government up until you also fix the party.
Yes, but there's a dialectic between the two, Mr. Tselapedi, that we obviously both appreciate. Because if you, for example, say as the African National Congress, we can't possibly lose the economic powerhouse of the country to an opposition or coalition government and be, you know, a government that can't take decisions at provincial level. We need to win this province. Then obviously the lens through which you look at ETALS has to change.
Yes, it does, especially when you look at your metropolitans like City of Johannesburg and City of Tshwane. Because, I mean, for the most part, metros are the engines of growth. That's where, in real terms, issues around job growth, unemployment, issues around making sure that entrepreneurs are able to succeed, issues around water, electricity, that's where really where the rubber hits the road when it comes to democratic interventions. So I think given that, any political party would want to retain this province. And certainly the issue of ETALS is quite big. But I'm not quite sure that it will be that much of a determining factor. I think we should also not undermine the ushering in of President Cyril Ramaphosa in terms of the overall electoral fortunes of the ANC.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are saying that he's in fact more popular than his party. And the trick for the African National Congress is to use that to its advantage. But so far we've seen, you know, some steps taken forward and then a couple of steps taken backward and a population that's growing, you know, increasingly irritated at the slow pace of what they see as reform. But let's come to the question of corruption. And of course, it was something that ran through the State of the Province address. The biggest, of course, that we were dealing with today from a news point of view was Bosasa, who went into voluntary liquidation. Let's just take a listen to what the Premier is saying about Bosasa and its own provincial government and how they're going to be taking the matter forward.
I have asked the Ethics Council to review any business the provincial government has ever done with Bosasa and advise us accordingly on the action that we need to take. The allegations coming out of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry are too serious to be ignored. The allegations coming out of the Zondo Commission of Inquiry cannot be ignored.
That is, of course, the Premier speaking there about the issue. Now, there isn't a government department that hasn't done business with Bosasa. I've just spoken with David Lewis about how this is going to work, this voluntary liquidation. In some ways, some of these things had to have been anticipated by departments and they ought to have gone to cancel some of these things. But we now have a situation where Bosasa will still have to provide services, but they can't do it at a profit. Do you think that this action that he has proposed against Bosasa is enough to convince the public that those linked to Bosasa is actually going to pay the ultimate price?
Look, I think we are dealing with the need to be seen, to be acting, one, and the need to actually do something.
Yes.
Remember, second part is that this is an executive, so one of the things that they can do is submit all of these allegations to bodies that would do the investigations. Obviously, the backdrop to all of this, again, is that the NPA has acted on the issue of Bosasa. So I think that's also given a lot of confidence to a lot of state institutions and departments to also act accordingly. But as to whether this will give sort of confidence for people who look at the ANC and say, but is this going to reassure that people are going to be locked up, that people are going to be prosecuted? I am not sure.
Mm.
But I think part of the problem is that rule of law does work slow. Democracy is part of the process where, unfortunately, different arms of government or the state does handle different things. So I think in the context of the executive power, they've done what they should. And I think what's important is that political will does determine that wherever wrongdoing is found, that they're able to not hinder the process of investigation and they're able to forward those complaints to relevant bodies that are going to investigate that matter. So with regards to that, I think they're acting on it. It depends on whether the NPA then will act again independently and without prejudice and so on.
Absolutely. And of course, that separation of powers is important because we do come from a history where people have argued that there was political interference. So even though the wheels of justice grind slowly, it's important that these institutions act independently. But we also need to say they have to obviously get a move on. Thank you very much to political analyst Tapela Tselapedi. Lepardi. I've been saying his name correctly all the time, and now that I'm thanking him to say goodbye, I'm not. So thank you very much to our political analyst there. The news is going to be up next. We're just going to take a short break.